leader with our allies in the fight for affordable health care.
I'm Andy Seaton, KBOO News.
For KBOO in Portland, I'm Julie Sabatier.
KBOO's Afifa Ahmed Shafi reports.
I'm Stephanie Potter, KBOO News.
KBOO's Eduardo Delanderos Fiere has more.
I'm Annalisa Hummel.
And I'm Liam Delta.
This is Maddie Bowden.
I'm Alex Collins, KBOO News.
I'm Michael Newman, KBOO News.
I'm Courtney Dillard, KBOO News.
Coming up on the KBOO Evening News, the state medical examiner says a Portland man tasered before he died this week. He died of a cocaine overdose. One of the most powerful Muslim leaders in the United States visits Portland this weekend. Voting rights are on the line in New Orleans.
And in the human cost of occupation in Iraq. As of today, there have been 2,330 officially acknowledged deaths of American soldiers, with as many as 48,000 others wounded. IraqBodyCount.org reports 37,895 civilians have been reported killed by military intervention in Iraq. In 2004, the medical journal The Lancet reported as many as 194,000 civilian casualties, not counting Fallujah, since the invasion. Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Friday, March 24, 2006. I'm Noah Eaton.
And I'm Annalisa Hummel. The state medical examiner says a Portland man, tasered while in police custody, died from a cocaine overdose complicated by a mental health condition. Dr. Karen Gunson told reporters yesterday that Timothy Grant would have died even if he hadn't been tasered because his blood cocaine level was more than 10 times the level common in overdose cases. She also said Grant had signs of a condition called excited delirium, including a body temperature of 104 degrees. A Portland officer on Monday used a stun gun on Grant twice while attempting to handcuff him. Witnesses said that Grant was still conscious and talking when ambulance paramedics arrived. He died on the way to the hospital. Portland Cop Watch, a police accountability group, issued a statement this week reiterating community concerns about the dangers of taser use. Noah?
A contemporary of Malcolm X and currently one of the most important black Islamic leaders in the United States, Imam W.D. Mohammed speaks in Portland Sunday at noon at the Oregon Convention Center. Imam Mohammed is a son of now-deceased Nation of Islam leader the Honorable Aliha Mohammed. Both the son and Malcolm X left the Nation of Islam in the 1960s. Imam Mohammed speaks in Portland Sunday on the topic of the need for interfaith community building. Muslim Center of Oregon Imam Mohammed Nahib spoke with KBOO yesterday about Sunday's event.
We all come out of the former Nation of Islam under his father's leadership, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, which was he was a great social reformer, and we have to look at that in that light of what he did. But here, Imam Muhammad, along with Imam Malcolm or Imam Hajj Malik Shabazz, they were kind of forerunners of their time, because many of them may not have had the vision then that both of them shared. You know that even with Imam Malcolm, that at one particular time he broke away from the Nation of Islam because he wanted to pursue Islam in its pristine purity. This is the path that we needed to go to, and Imam Muhammad was also in that same vein, because there were particular times and periods of history where his father would not even allow him to come amongst the members of the Nation of Islam. He kind of like denounced him or put him out because he would not follow, say, the strict, rigid discipline that we were following, because he knew that that was incorrect. But that was for a particular period of time, and all of us weren't in the frame of mind that we could be able to accept that type of dialogue or understanding, and we needed to be cleaned up, like learn how to fast, learn how to protect the environment, learn how to not look at, say, the society as something like, we call it plantation ghosts, for instance, to where we might come down the street and look at the nice buildings and the streets and things, and with the understanding that we had, think that this is the white man's, or this is society's, and trash it or do that, because we felt that we had no ownership in it. We had to be cleaned up and prepared to come into the world community of Muslims, and then into the world community period, when we can meet and greet people and we can come to some common understanding. So Imam Muhammad and also Imam Malcolm, both of these visionary leaders, they had vision. They had God had blessed them with that type of vision. And they saw that we cannot say, one particular people are not able to benefit from what we teach in terms of the universality of us and how we are one human family, we have to relate to it from that perspective. So Imam Muhammad, his vision all the time has been, I think, in that vein, along with Imam Malcolm, and he has been the one that, you know, has been the forerunner that has brought us to the point in our life to where we're able to really accept and benefit from society as a whole, and not look at a person based on the color of their skin, but the content of their character, and also the spiritual aspect of what he's helped us to develop. And that is to know that we're, as individuals, we are spiritual individuals, and once we understand and learn to tap that spiritual understanding, then unlimited potential happens. And then when we use it in a cooperative spirit and work with humanity as a whole, it magnifies and it becomes something of a dynamic force, and you begin to see things happening that one had never seen before in their life, and it almost looks some sort of mystical or mysterious or something, some kind of force that we have no control over, because it's tapping into the very vital life force that we need to tap in as society in order for us to be successful.
That was Imam Muhammad Nahib of the Muslim Center of Oregon. Imam W.D. Muhammad speaks Sunday, March 26th at noon in the Oregon Convention Center. Tickets are free and all are welcome. For information, call 503-281-7691.
The current time is almost 7 minutes after 5 o'clock. You're listening to Community Radio KBOO in Portland, Vancouver, Corvallis, and Hood River. As we ask you to become a member of KBOO Community Radio, please make a pledge by calling 503-232-8818 or 877-500-KBOO. And now we're going to Pledge Center with Marlies and Daniel.
Actually, it's Denise. I used to be Daniel, but now I'm Denise. And I'm also here with Lila Rose. And it's good to hear Annalisa doing the news. It's good to see all these folks here down at KBOO during the spring membership drive. That number is 503-232-8818. And we have a goal of $250 for this news hour. And I think we can make it.
I'm sure we can. Absolutely sure, because we always make our goals, because we get a lot of support from our friends and our family and the people who find this news absolutely imperative. And our phone number is 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-KBOO.
You know, we come to you a couple times a year to ask to see if you can spare a few bucks for community radio. And, you know, maybe you can't feel like you can't afford KBOO, but I want you to consider something. That's a microphone, sweetie. That's Lila Rose. She's going to help convince you to dial the phone.
For the future?
Right. For the future.
Yeah, they got on the
back. Future?
Yeah. Well, we want you to consider cultural poverty, that our region would suffer without this amazing radio station. We want to make sure we maintain this legacy. So little tykes, little girls like Lila Rose and Cecilia and Yasmin have a community radio station to come to and learn how to make radio, to do radio. So we're asking you to support radio. Give us a call at 503-232-8818 right now.
Hey, and it's me, Lisa Loving, here also, and thank you both for being here with us to encourage people and invite them to participate in our radio station. And I like to encourage people to pledge 1 hour's wage to KBOO per month. So if you're making minimum wage in Oregon, that means that on January 1st, you got a raise to $7.50 a month. And even if you're getting minimum wage, you can afford 1 hour's wage a month to KBOO. And I'm telling you that in my, you know, some of the day jobs I've had have been so miserable. And then, you know, when it gets really bad, I say to myself, wait a minute, I'm going to work my KBOO hour now. And it makes it better. It really makes it a lot better. And you can participate in making the world a better place by dialing us up. Come grab your wallet or your checkbook and walk over to the phone and pick it up and dial 503-232-8818 or toll free if you are in the gorgeous Columbia Gorge or the wonderful Willamette Valley or the Oregon coast or in Detroit or in England or someplace wild like that. You can call us toll free at 1-877-500-KBOO. 1-877-500-KABU. That's 1-877-500-5266.
You can also pledge online if you're in any of those locations other than Portland. I don't know. Yesterday, some people from Transylvania were here or something, weren't they? Anyway, pledge online at KABU.FM. Is that right, Lisa?
Yeah, actually, you could do KBOO.FM or KBOO.ORG. And, you know, got like 1.25 million clicks on our website. We got a lot. And if you go to that website to do your happy pledge thing at KBOO.org, there are a couple of online-only premiums, if I'm not mistaken, mm-hmm. a certificate from Music Millennium and something else as well. And, you know, I like to hear the places that you get a discount with your KBOO card because, to me, I like to know who's a part of my community. And sometimes as I'm walking out in the world, I'm surprised to find out that there's places like the bagel shop near my house or, you know, Music Millennium or some of these other wonderful businesses that we all pitch together. We're all part of something.
Well, exactly. And I want to say thank you to all of our restaurants who show their support during our pledge drive, providing food and beverages to our volunteers who take your calls on the telephone. So I want to say thank you to K&F Coffee House at 2706 Southeast 26th Avenue, Alexis at 215 West Burnside, and Laughing Planet at 3320 Southeast Belmont. Thank you so much for your support. KBOO truly relies on you. You, the listeners, to help us run this radio station. It takes a lot of money. As a former station manager, I recall how much money it does take to run a radio station. And especially with the technology, it just keeps changing. The other day, I thought mini disc recorders were the thing to have. But apparently, I am so out of the loop because they've been replaced by some new technology gadget. What is it called?
Flash.
The flash, okay? So,
and so we have... Do we have any of those?
Do we have any flashes?
You know, we have been, you know, this is truly a time when KBOO's got 1 foot in the future and 1 foot in mm-hmm. the present. I'll put it that way. Mm-hmm. And we've got just a couple little flash recorders. That is the new thing. And interestingly enough, Sony Corporation, which sort of owns the mini disc world, they are phasing those out, which is interesting. And so we're only going to be here on the air asking you for money for another minute and a half. But you can call us, even if we're not asking you to in that beautiful moment, 503-232-8818 or toll free 1-877-500-KABOO. You know, there's people who are coming here too.
Yes.
They're coming to the station at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. That's in Portland, Oregon. We're a half block south of Burnside. There's on-street parking. If you come in person, I think that it's not too late to, if you come and you make a $20 pledge or more, you get your coffee mug, a KBOO coffee mug, and you get to walk out with it. Kathy Wirtz, a local artist, designed that mug. We always, every pledgey, have a special commemorative coffee mug, and I think that's important. So another 45 seconds, and we're going back to the news. Any more words, friends?
I just want to say KBOO happens because of so many reasons. But namely, it happens because of people like you. We need your support to keep the news going, our music programming going, just the beauty of KBOO going. So please pick up the telephone, call 503-232-8818 or toll free 1-877-500-5266 and become a member of KBOO Community Radio.
And it's true. It's not a joke. It really sounds different when you remember. No kidding. And, again, come in person. That's the funnest way. 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, Oregon. And here we go. We're just about to go right back to the news, okay? Thanks to all the people who are listening.
A Marion County judge yesterday upheld Governor Ted Kulongowski's authority to push forward with stricter vehicle emission standards. In August, Kulongowski asked the State Environmental Quality Commission to draft new emission regulations that are identical to California's. The program would reduce carbon dioxide emissions. State environmental officials estimate that the California rules would reduce carbon dioxide emissions from cars and light trucks 18% by 2020. Legislators in the 2005 session had sought to bar the new standards by inserting a note in the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality's budget that prevented agency staff members from working on the new rules. Kulongowski vetoed the budget provision, touching off a lawsuit by Senate Republican leader Ted Ferrari, the Alliance of Automobile Manufacturers, and more than a dozen car dealers seeking to block the tougher tailpipe emission standards.
A new report released yesterday by the Center for Budget and Policy Priorities is urging Oregonians to be cautious about putting a TABOR, also known as Taxpayers' Bill of Rights, amendment in the Constitution. KBOO's Noah Eaton reports.
Signature gatherers are already hitting the pavement, looking to put a taxpayer's Bill of Rights, or TABOR, in the Oregon Constitution. But a new report says such plans can create problems. Supporters say TABOR will limit government spending and help the economy. But the report released Thursday by the Center for Budget and Policy Priorities shows that Colorado's TABOR law didn't do that. Nick Johnson with the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities says Oregonians should be cautious.
Everything that state government pays for is under threat from TABOR. There's a little bit less money to spend every year, so that over time you get quite substantial reductions in services, and both the quality and quantity of public services declines.
Johnson says the Colorado experience shows that states should first make investments in education and public infrastructure.
Even in a state like Colorado, where all these investments had been made, TABOR didn't do any good. In other states, which are not quite as well positioned, it's time they start making these investments rather than falling for panaceas like TABOR.
Last fall, Colorado voters, led by the local business community, suspended TABOR for 5 years because of the problems it caused. Content was provided by the Oregon News Service. I'm Noah Eaton, KBOO News. An estimated 300 protesters in Astoria yesterday opposed a massive government shutdown of this year's salmon fishing season. The Bush administration called for the fishing moratorium because of a critically low rate of return of spawning wild salmon to riverways up and down the Pacific coast. U.S. Representative David Wu, a Oregon Democrat, vowed to collect dead salmon from fishermen for delivery this summer at federal offices in Seattle if West Coast salmon seasons are closed. Speakers at the rally in Astoria called for the removal of dams on the Salmon and Klamath Rivers and a reduction in irrigation allotments to farmers. Many said they face bankruptcy if the fishing season is closed completely. Governor Ted Kulongowski is convening Oregon's congressional delegation, commercial fishermen, agency directors, and others for an emergency summit next week to discuss the possible closure of coastal waters to commercial salmon fishing this year.
The executive director of the State Democratic Party filed an election complaint yesterday against Jim Veldkamp. The complaint alleges Veldkamp, a Republican congressional candidate, failed to explain a campaign loan from 2 years ago. Veldkamp is seeking the Republican nomination in May to run against incumbent Representative Peter DeFascio, Democrat of Springfield. Neil Pender, head of the state Democrats, said Veldkamp did not account for how he was able to make a $77,500 loan to his own campaign in the 2004 race. The Veldkamp campaign issued a statement from the candidate that blamed DeFascio for the complaint, saying he was trying to find fault where there is none, and called it a desperate attack. Veldkamp has been fined twice by the Federal Elections Commission, once for failing to report donations in a timely manner, and once for failing to report fundraising-related travel expenses. Noah?
A federal judge granted class action status Thursday to a lawsuit accusing a Chicago Nike Town store of discriminating against and harassing its black employees. A Nike spokesman says a Beaverton-based company has not decided whether to appeal. 18 current and former employees of the retail claimer in the lawsuit that store managers use racial slurs to refer to black workers and customers. They claim the store segregated black employees into lower-paying jobs as stockroom workers and cashiers, rather than giving them lucrative sales jobs. The plaintiffs also allege managers made unfounded accusations of theft against black workers and directed store security to monitor black employees and customers because of their race. One of the plaintiffs, 26-year-old Larry Posey of Chicago, said he was falsely accused of credit card fraud by a Nike Town manager in 2001. He said he was suspended, but eventually allowed to return to work as a sales clerk when managers failed to approve the accusation.
Today is the 17th anniversary of the Exxon Valdez oil spill in Alaska's Prince William Sound. It has been 12 years since a federal jury awarded punitive damages to the fisher community and others who lost their livelihoods as a result of Exxon's negligence. No one has been financially compensated. Congressmember Dave Reichert of Washington is pressing for long-delayed compensation for those affected. Reichert says ExxonMobil earned $36 billion last year, a record for a single company, while 33,000 anglers, businesses and affected communities are still waiting for just compensation. He is circulating a letter to his colleagues requesting their assistance in the matter.
A national coalition of groups says that New Orleans local elections slated to take place at the end of April violate the Voting Rights Act. They say the election will not only deliberately disenfranchise black voters, but will set a dangerous precedent that will roll back landmark legislation that gave each other person a voice. FSRN's Leighton Caldwell reports from Washington, D.C.
April 22nd is the date New Orleans residents will elect a new mayor, city council, and some members of the state legislature. But a coalition of African Americans said that the Voting Rights Act has been violated. Reverend Jesse Jackson.
So it seems to have no commitment on the Voting Rights Act. Those who sought to deny it in 1965 but now control the federal government. They'll intend to implement it. You kill the Voting Rights Act in two ways, by legislation or by unenforcement. We know that the Voting Rights Act now is in jeopardy.
The Louisiana Secretary of State refuses to release the names and addresses of displaced voters to candidates, and the state will not establish satellite voting locations in the cities which people are displaced, an option given to Iraqis living in the United States during that country's elections. In order to vote, residents living outside Louisiana can either vote by absentee ballot, which is due one day before the polls open, or travel back to the state in order to cast their ballot. Mark Morial is former mayor of New Orleans.
It's a Florida in the making. The failure of the state in this regard to establish satellite voting outside of Louisiana makes no sense and invites problems, confusion, and perhaps even more than that. Many New Orleanians are displaced. They're displaced not because they want to be displaced. They want to return. Their homes are destroyed. Public services have not been restored. The recovery has been slow. But they deserve and have a right to have a voice in who will be the leaders of their community, and that is what the election is all about.
Three-fifths of New Orleans' pre-Katrina population was black. Because of these policies, 150,000 black voters won't have access to the polls, according to the coalition. The groups, though, have a plan to restore voting rights. They have filed lawsuits and pushed legislation. That legislation will be introduced in the Louisiana State Legislature next week, and it will force the state to release the names and addresses of the displaced and offer satellite voting locations. They are also holding forums in several cities for the candidates to come speak, and they will hold a rally in New Orleans on April 1st. Reverend Al Sharpton.
We cannot sit by and watch the state officials, Democratic or the Republican Justice Department, come together again and disenfranchise our voters.
The Justice Department says their job is to determine if policies are retrogressive. They determined that the election will not have a disproportionate impact on New Orleans minorities. Eric Holland is a spokesperson for the Justice Department.
In the end, we made the well-informed decision of pre-clearing the plan submitted by the Secretary of State of Louisiana.
One of the major suits filed will be heard in federal court on Monday. For Free Speech Radio News, I'm Leanne Caldwell.
In a related story, FEMA has broken its promise to reopen $4 million no-bid contracts for Hurricane Katrina work, including three that federal auditors say wasted significant amounts of money. Officials said they awarded the four contracts last October to speed recovery efforts that might have been slowed by competitive bidding. Some critics, however, suggested they were rewards for politically connected firms. Acting FEMA Director R. David Paulison pledged last fall to rebid the contracts, which were awarded to Shaw Group Incorporated, Bechtel Corporation, CH2M Hill Incorporated, and Fluor Corporation. Later, the agency acknowledged the rebidding wouldn't happen until February.
The current time is 5:24 p.m. And now another Half Balloon Daily Commentary from Jim Hightower.
In his State of the Union peroration, George W. instructed members of Congress, quote, to be good stewards of tax dollars. So, I'm sure you'll be glad to hear about the financial stewardship being practiced over at Bush's own Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. ATF agents are involved in policing violent crimes here in the homeland. But even though the Bureau has enjoyed successive years of budget hikes under Bush, it is having to cut back on such basic needs as replacement cars for the field agents and bulletproof vests to protect them. One reason is that Georgia's director of the ATF, Carl Truscott, has been spending agency money for a new headquarters building in downtown Washington. Truscott's 438,000-square-foot building is currently projected to cost $138.5 million. That's already $19 million over budget, not counting another $75 million for acquiring the site, designing the building, buying furniture, and such. Indeed, some of the overrun comes from Truscott, for he's ordered some $300,000 worth of extras for his own office, including hardwood floors and a $30,000 conference table. Also, for a man supposedly focused on such matters as terrorist threats to you and me, Truscott spends an inordinate amount of time fussing with the details of furnishing his new place. He and his aides have held many meetings to discuss the color of wall coverings, seating charts for the Bureau's top executives, and whether the agency's new gym should have shower curtains or shower doors. Truscott turns out to be notorious for taking care of number one. For example, he allocates $1 million a year of ATF's budget to provide an extensive security staff for himself, including 5 full-time agents and 2 armored SUVs. This is Jim Hightower saying if he keeps feathering his own nest while cutting back on field agents, he might need all that protection. Today's commentary is made possible in part by the good folks at Mother Jones Magazine. Over the years, Mother Jones has won just about every award available while ticking off the honchos of business and government. They're proud of both distinctions. Find out more at MotherJones.com.
Stay tuned for independent native news following our newscast. Then at 6 p.m., hear feminist show Bread and Roses. At 7, it's Jay's Place. Tonight's weather, in Portland and Corvallis, rainy tonight and tomorrow, and colder, lows near 44 degrees. In the Columbia Gorge, light rain through tomorrow, overnight lows dropping to near freezing. You are listening to the KBOO Evening News in Portland, Corvallis, Vancouver, and Hood River.
The current time is 5:27 p.m. As we ask for you to become a member of KBOO Community Radio, please make a pledge by calling 503-232-8818 or 877-500-KBOO. So what do you say we take another mystical journey to Pledge Central, where our own Denise and Marlise are sitting?
Hey, that rhymes, Denise and Marlise.
And we can
mystical
sing a song.
Pledge. Hey, 503-232-8818. This is serious. How many people listen to the news every day? I just want to say there's so much going on here at the news in the room that we have. We have this room, and people come in, they scour the internet, they go into the community, they talk to people, we make phone calls. You wouldn't believe the amount of activity and the amount of things that people do to be here every single day, Monday through Friday, with the news. It is amazing. Come down and watch it. You will be astounded.
You know, one of my favorite things as a volunteer back in the day was volunteering in the newsroom. And I have to say, one of my most favorite professional endeavors, my favorite jobs, was serving as the evening news director a few years ago. And it was so fabulous on so many levels, just experiencing the news and experiencing working with people who wanted to report the news, to learn radio, to do that. And it takes time and it takes money. And that's why we're talking to you now and asking you to give us a call, 503-232-8818. I want to put out a shout out to Anna, who called in. Hello. Thank you so much for your support. We should talk soon. But she gave us a call and showed her support of this radio station. So we're encouraging folks to do the same.
A membership is $40 a year. What is $40 a year? It's literally a few cents a day. You can have that. You can pay that by check. You can have it taken out of your checking account. You can pay $5 a month. Or like Lisa said earlier, 1 hour of your time that you earn once a month, and it comes out of your checking account, and you don't even notice. But you're right. While you're listening to the news, while you're listening to KABU, you don't have to say, oh, well, you know, I've never really been a member, and kind of say, oh, I don't really need to be a member. Because, you know, if we had to go and collect the money, which we couldn't, but it would cost a lot to get what you get here. And it's amazing what you get, because I've been in places where it isn't.
Yes, indeed. It's a hodgepodge. It's an eclectic mix of incredible programming. You know, folks have been supporting KABU for 3 decades.
Exactly.
You know, over 30 years, we must be doing something right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We might be speaking to some place in your heart. And we're asking you, especially folks who've been listening for years and years and years, who have not yet made that commitment. Mm-hmm. Yes, I said the C word. To become a member of KBOO. And the only way to do that, take the step, let's be gentle, basic membership, or how about this, $5 a month out of your checking account. Gentle, gentle, gentle yep. commitment. Give us a call at 503-232-8818.
And I want to chime in and say, if you've ever called up the newsroom to, I don't know, talk about what's the proper pronunciation of a word that you just heard that maybe you think wasn't pronounced properly, you better get your tickets over here, Jackson, and you better put a little bit of money in the hat, because we don't just dance for nothing, man. I'm saying, you know, people call us up all day and all night, and they let us know what they like. They let us know that what they don't like. When was the last time you called up Fox News to tell them that what you like or what you don't like? Or one of our other esteemed local stations. Can you get a human on the phone? Can
it's
you?
Very, if you can even get the phone number, that's one thing, you know?
Yeah. 503-232-8818 is the local number to call, or 1-877-500-KABU. And
I just want to mention very quickly, in the next 30 minutes, we have just a little bit of a goal to meet. We have a little over $100 to meet our goal for this hour. Let's make that telephone, hi, Lila Rose, ring.
We're still here.
503-232-8818. Go ahead, Lisa.
You know, another thing that I really like about the pledge drive is that people come here and you get to look people in the face. And I just saw where actually a whole bunch of family members, not only Lila Rose, but a whole bunch of grandpapas and dads just walked in with one of the programmers who's going to do Bread and Roses. And I just like that. I mean, this is where the community comes together. We look at each other so we can make visual contact. And we know that we are all here. We're all a group. And I love that. And so come to 20 Southeast 8th Street. We're really here. We really have coffee. I've got some homemade cookies in the newsroom. Love to give you some. They're vegan. Did I mention they're vegan cookies? 503-232-8818. 1-877-500-KABU. We're only going to talk for about another 2 minutes. But with that $5 a month, you can have an electronic fund transfer, as I call it, electronic fund transfer.
Exactly, and it sounds like a big, big term or expression, but it's so easy, folks. Once you set it up, it's done, and it keeps happening until you tell us to stop doing it. It's a monthly deduction from your checking account. That's how I show my support for KBOO Community Radio. But please give us a call at 503-232-8818. A couple of phone calls will help us meet that goal for this hour. And what kind of benefits one might get?
I just want to say, you know, I listened for a while and I didn't make the benefit jump. And once I did, I got the actual KABU program guide, and I couldn't believe. So let me tell you five things. Little wing massage, discounts on massage,
all
discounts
year.
On
you
books, discounts
year.
At chiropractic practices, discounts on organic produce, discounts on bicycle parts and bicycles, discounts on guitar and musical instruments. Why? Because those people know KABU does a lot for them, and we do a lot for them. It's we're scratching each other's back. We're all part of the community, and you get benefits 10, 15, 20% off of things and services.
So in a minute, we have to go back to the news, but you get those bennies all year.
Yeah.
You get those all year.
Really?
Yeah. And so the number to call, 503-232-8818, 1-877-500-KABU. Come in person to 20 Southeast 8th in Portland. I see a dear old friend who just walked in. How sweet is that? And it is time for us, I believe, to go back to the news. And thanks to all the people who have contributed.
Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas thinks it will be possible to hold peace talks with Israel with Hamas in control of the Palestinian legislature. FSRN's Leila Al-Haddad reports from Gaza.
In an interview with the Israeli daily Haaretz, Abbas said he had sent a proposal to the United States about opening covert negotiations for a final status settlement with Israel. The plan calls for the talks to be spearheaded by President George Bush after the new Israeli government is set up. But according to senior Palestinian sources, President Bush did not respond to Abbas's suggestion to pressure the new Israeli government to resume the peace process. Abbas said he could legally bypass the new Hamas government when it came to negotiations, but feared Israel was not interested in making peace, choosing instead to avoid talks under the pretext of having no Palestinian partner. If elected prime minister, Israeli Kadima party leader Ehud Olmert has vowed to unilaterally annex large chunks of the West Bank, which include two of the largest settlements there, illegal under international law. His platform also includes a plan to annex portions of the Jordan Valley. Both moves, say Palestinians, that will render a negotiated peace and their future state impossible. For FSRN in Gaza, this is Leila Al-Haddad.
Bolivian President Evo Morales called today for the return of a mineral-rich coastal territory lost to Chile in a 19th-century war, the source of a bitter grudge against a neighboring country. FSRN's Jorge Garatón reports from Santiago.
Chile's Foreign Minister Alejandro Foxley said, "This is a bilateral issue and third parties have no say in the matter." He says Chile has no intentions of modifying the 1904 bilateral treaty that defines the border between Chile and Bolivia. Foxley says that Chile respects all signed treaties and will not modify them. He did say, however, that Chile's new government is working to foster a constructive relationship with Bolivia in which problems are solved step by step. Bolivia lost its access to the sea in the 1879 War of the Pacific, in which it allied itself with Peru against Chile. After the war, Chile claimed Bolivia's access to the Pacific and Peru's southern provinces as compensation. Chile is prepared to open full diplomatic relations with Bolivia. Chile is also willing to give Bolivia control to a seaport under Bolivian legislation, but it is not prepared to give an independent corridor to the sea. For FSRN, this is Jorge Garretón in Santiago.
A member of the Afghan parliament and survivor of numerous assassination attempts for her outspokenness is touring the United States. Mamalai Joya says the controversy over the death sentence given to a man who converted from Islam to Christianity shows that Islamic fundamentalism still holds sway in Afghanistan. Mitch Jesserich reports for Free Speech Radio News.
27-year-old Mamalai Joya, a member of Afghanistan's parliament and survivor of four assassination attempts, is the woman who at the opening ceremony of the first parliament denounced the new government for being run by warlords who she says should be prosecuted for war crimes. She says the recent charge against Abdul Rahman with a possible death sentence for becoming a Christian is an example of how U.S. policy in the region replaced one oppressive government for another.
Unfortunately, once again, they become in power, and day by day, year by year, they become powerful. And this is the big risk for the future of Afghanistan, because there are those people that they physically changed, but they mentally they are same like Taliban. And this is the main reason that there is no fundamental change in the situation of Afghanistan.
For Free Speech Radio News, I'm Mitch Jesserich in New York.
Argentines commemorate today the 30-year anniversary of the nation's 1976 military coup and the brutal nightmare of state terror that followed. Throughout the week, human rights groups remember the 30,000 people who were disappeared with a series of rallies and cultural events. FSRN's Marie Tragona is in Buenos Aires, where people are recalling the start of one of Argentina's darkest chapters.
Events to mark 30 years since Argentina's military junta kicked off a Penescrache, or exposure protest, against the coup's first dictator, Jorge Rafael Videla. Over 10,000 people participated in the protest in front of Videla's home, where he is under house arrest in connection with numerous human rights abuse charges. Human rights groups Hijos brought a crane and gave the ending of remarks directly in front of Videla's fifth-floor apartment. Nora Cortines, mother of Placide Macho, Linea Fundadora, said that the very leaders responsible for illegally detaining, torturing, and killing 30,000 activists during the military junta dictatorship, which ruled Argentina from 1976 to 1983, benefit from state-sponsored impunity.
We are here because we don't forget. We don't forgive and we don't reconcile. The struggle will continue for as long as necessary, until they tell us what happened to each one of the women and men who were disappeared, until all the children who were snatched from their detained mothers find out their true identity, until all the killers are put in regular jails with life sentences, until those murderers responsible for this genocide are truly punished, until the dreams of the disappeared and everyone who continues to fight today for social justice come true.
Human rights groups Hijos and Abuelas de Placide Macho have worked for over 10 years to find the whereabouts of the estimated 500 babies who were born while their mothers were in illegal captivity. Pregnant women were tortured and forced to give birth while blindfolded. In front of the Buenos Aires Military Hospital, one of the 375 clandestine detention centers used during the dictatorship, sons and daughters who recuperated their identity demanded that military nurses and doctors who participated in the forced confessions should also be punished. According to Manuel Gonzalez, who suspected he was abducted since the age of 19, the dictatorship used disappearances not only to install terror, but also the current neoliberal economic model put in place.
It has been 30 years since a bloody dictatorship took power in our country, where 30,000 men and women were tortured, shot, killed, and disappeared. Also 500 babies. The military junta used the sinister mechanism of terror to implement the neoliberal economic model in our country. And this is why they needed to disappear our parents. They tortured them in clandestine detention centers. They made our mothers give birth to us in places like this. They gave birth to us in this hospital, a clandestine and illegal detention center.
Thanks to the work of Hijos, they have recuperated the identity of 82 sons and daughters. Victoria Donda Perez, a daughter of a disappeared, sent a message to her parents.
We want to tell our dear disappeared compañeros and parents not to worry, because we are here, and we will find your children. Today we are 82, but soon we will find all of them, along with your children. We are recovering the dreams of the disappeared, their dreams of life, their dreams of freedom, because that's who our parents were. They were the builders of courageous dreams.
During the dirty war in Argentina, much of the population remained silent due to the censorship imposed by the military government. Those who did not stay silent risked being disappeared themselves. Today, in factories, universities, high schools, and barrios, activists organize local events to keep history alive and defend human rights so that history doesn't repeat itself. For Free Speech Radio News, I'm Marie Trigona in Buenos Aires.
People are protesting at various embassies and consulates of India throughout the U.S. today, calling on the Indian government to meet with dozens of survivors of the chemical gas leak in 1984 that killed thousands of people in Bhopal, India, one of the worst industrial disasters ever. FSRN's Darby Hickey reports from Washington, D.C., where protesters marched on the Indian embassy.
This is what they're fighting for!
Over 7,000 miles away, hundreds of survivors of the Bhopal disaster are marching on their way to Delhi to meet with members of the Indian government. Their allies took action across the U.S. today to pressure the Indian government to address the demands of the Bhopal to Delhi march. Akwini Freechild met with a representative of the Indian embassy in D.C.
We essentially presented the six demands of the International Campaign for Justice in Bhopal and of the survivors who have just marched 500 miles from Bhopal to New Delhi. They're essentially asking for clean water, medical care, just their basic human rights, essentially. And also we're asking for the Indian government to stop expanding business with Dow, stop buying Dow products such as Duraspan, which are incredibly toxic and banned for home use in the United States in the case of Duraspan.
The Indian embassy declined to comment. Although it's been almost 22 years since the Bhopal disaster, survivors say the government has not done enough to address their needs. The plant that leaked the chemical gases, which survivors say has killed over 20,000 people since the disaster, was owned and operated by the U.S.-based company Union Carbide. Rajshekhar Jamalmadka of the Association for India's Development and others say that Union Carbide never took responsibility for its actions, and neither has Dow Chemical, which took over the company in 2001. Jamalmadka says he hopes the Indian government will hold the corporation accountable.
Dow Chemicals has come into India and is setting up new plants across India, but Dow Chemicals, its subsidiary Union Carbide, has been declared an absconder of justice, essentially a fugitive from law, because they haven't answered to the court summons in India. So the key demand is to ask the Indian government not to allow Dow Chemicals or any of its subsidiaries to do business in India without facing justice.
Survivors of Bhopal on their way to Delhi will arrive on March 31st. They say they will go on hunger strike if the Prime Minister does not meet with them.
No justice, no business.
For Free Speech Radio News, I'm Darby Hickey in Washington, D.C.
That's the KBOO Evening News for Friday, March 24th, 2006. If you have any questions or comments about what you heard this evening, please call us at 503-231-8032 and leave a message on extension 203 or send an email to pmnews@kboo.org. You are listening to KBOO at 90.7 FM in Portland, in Corvallis at 100.7 FM on Translator K264AA, and in Hood River at 91.9 FM on Translator K220HR. You can log on to our website at kboo.fm. Our producer for tonight's newscast is Lisa Loving. Tonight's AP Sloyd's, are Noah Eaton and Martha Odom. Tonight's assistant producer and audio editor is Noah Eaton. Special thanks to reporters Doug Weedy and Noah Eaton. Our engineer is Joshua Johnson. I'm Annalisa Hummel.
And I'm Noah Eaton. Stay tuned for Independent Native News. And coming up Monday at 7 a.m., hear the KBOO Morning News. At 7:30 a.m., Cecil and Celeste host More Talk Radio. Their guest is Manning Mirabal, professor of history and political science at Columbia University. He'll discuss his latest book, Living Black History. At 9, it's the Old Mo Variety Hour, with interviews, commentary, and analysis of current issues. At 10, it's a special food show with a program of reviews of local restaurants. And at 11, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman. That's all right here on KBOO, your community nonprofit, volunteer-powered, and listener-sponsored radio station. Thanks for joining us. And now we have another opportunity for you to support KBOO. Let's find out how at Pledge Central with our endorphinettes, Denise and Marlise.
An endorphinette, I love that. Yes, we're having so much fun. It's Friday evening. Things are really kicking into gear. But we need to hear those telephones are ringing, folks. I need one phone call, a pledge of $10 a month. That's $120. That'll get us to our goal for this hour. We have roughly, 12 minutes? Thank you. 503-232-8818 or toll free 1-877-500-5266.
And I want to mention a lot of you people are out there driving while you're listening to the news, and you do this every single day because you love the news and you tune it on, you push the button and it's right there dialed into KBOO 90.7. When you get home, open the door and run to the phone and pledge for the news tonight and show your support at 503-232-8818.
I also want to suggest to all the people that are activists in the community, all the people that get this wild idea to go do something to make the world a better place, you know that when you call us up in the news department, that we rush you onto the air. In fact, we have live interviews and recorded interviews with an activist focus. That's what we do that other people cannot do. So if you are one of those people and you think that you feel it within you that someday you're going to go out and be active and you're going to get your story on the news, you need to support this programming as well by calling 503-232-8818 or toll free 1-877 500 KBOO. And thanks to the people who are calling right now and the people that are coming to 20 Southeast 8th Street. Because if you come in person, maybe you're already a member, but if you're on your way home, if you're on the bus or whatever, we're right along a bus line on Burnside at 8th. If you are on your way home and you have $20 in your pocket, you drop by, kick us that extra $20, and you get your happy coffee mug, huh?
You know, It's so great. I'm looking at all these faces, some faces I haven't seen in a while, some faces I've seen just recently. And that's one of the beautiful things about KBOO. It's a family. It's a community environment. We do a lot of crazy, wacky things here. We do a lot of good stuff here. Yes, I know. Even that crazy, wacky face that Lisa's making
right now. I'm making a wacky face because we're psyched that, you know, Trojan is going to be imploded in mid-May. And we're going to have a live Trojan implosion special. It's going to be on a Sunday at 7 a.m. And we're going to do it. Yeah. We're going to do it. We're going to be here. We're going to have activists here. And it's going to be gonzo.
So that's wild and wacky. But give us a call at 503-232-8818. We need one call. Let's make that goal happen.
And I just want to say too, a lot of people who have been on the news, if you're a topic, if you have been on the news talking to people, maybe you can encourage your friends and yourself to call 503-232-8818. Become a member. You use the resources we all use and benefit from what you do, and that helps to get the word out into the community. Without you, where are we? And without us, where are you? So let's work together. We love you, and we love what you're doing, and you do such important work, and we want to be here for you. And that is plainly it. 1-877-500-KBOO.
You know, it's sharing the love. Share the love, folks. Come, pick up the phone and dial 503-232-8818. Join the party that happens every day, all year long, on your community radio station.
I want to add one other service that the KBOO News provides that actually in the past month, 4 KBOO News volunteers have gotten jobs because they came in here, they learned how to do stuff, they got a vision, and they got employment. And we have placed reporters all over the world, literally. So this is a training ground, I like to think, for alternative information, alternative news. And part of what we do is we teach people how to use their critical thinking when they listen to the news. So, and you know that you're welcome to come down here and participate as well. And we are here eating burritos as it happens at 20 Southeast 8th Street in Portland, Oregon. We're a half block south of Burnside. We're partying. We're having fun. I want to thank the people who are dialing 503-232-8818 and toll free 1-877-500-KBOO. I want to thank you. And I also just, for the people who haven't called yet, I'm only going to be asking for money for another 2.5 minutes, and then we're going to play Independent Native News, which is an important, very important bedrock piece of our evening news programming. But for people that are willing to make a $60 annual pledge, I've got to suggest that the new T-shirt for this drive was designed by Chris Andre. Chris Andre, one of the most important KBOO News volunteers there is, and she participates with the morning news. And by the way, she's convalescing right now. Chris, if you're hearing this, I want you to eat a lot of that yummy, weird English cheese, and we miss you, and we want you to come back. She fell off a horse. Wouldn't you do that? But the T-shirt we're offering is a color picture of the big public rejection of the World Trade Organization in Seattle. That was the birthplace of indie media, right? Portland indie media, international indie media. It was important. So our T-shirt's got the Chris Andre design. It says, KBOO, we put the riot back in Patriot. And I want to suggest that as the membership gift of choice for a $60 pledge. 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-KBOO.
And also, when you come down, you can choose from a variety of premiums. We also have some tickets. We have Thomas Dolby, Daryl Anger, Jackie Green. If you would like to have something on the lighter side or a night out, you know, come in and check and see what kind of tickets we have for a $60 pledge. That's $5 a month. That can come out of your checking account, or you can pay it off your credit card, or you can send us a check. 1-877-500 KBOO, which is 5266 or 503-232-8818. I see Lisa smiling. I want to thank Lisa Loving because I work with her, and she does an amazing job. She's always upbeat. She's really great. And you guys, this is an amazing resource that you have just in this one woman here who works here every day and keeps this news department in ship shape. Thank you, Lisa.
You flatter me. You flatter me.
Oh, it's awesome.
But it does give you the sense of how many people it takes to come together to make change happen. And when we saw that probably 15 or 20,000 people in Portland came out for that big peace march last Sunday, I think Cabe was right in the center of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to celebrate the people in this community. 15 seconds and we're going to Independent Native News. So 503-232-8818 or 1-877 500 KBOO. I think it's time to go to Independent Native News, and thanks to everybody who called, and I hope you have a wonderful weekend.
Ditto.
Thank you.
This is Independent Native News for Friday, the 24th of March. I'm Bonnie Sue Hitchcock. Members of the Gitgat Band in Hartley Bay, British Columbia, were first on the scene when a BC ferry hit a rock early Wednesday morning, with just over 100 passengers on board. The Queen of the North normally travels between Point Hardy on Vancouver Island and Prince Rupert. The ferry began taking on water after hitting the rock, 85 miles south of Prince Rupert. Bruce Reese, a council member of the Gitgat First Nation and a Coast Guard auxiliary member, says the 200-member band in Hartley Bay responded the same way they would if only one or two people needed rescuing.
I mean, it's nothing new. I mean, we've always done this no matter what incidents or anything happened. I mean, the people always come together in a time of need. That's how we've always been.
Reese credits the crew of the Queen of the North for their quick launch of life rafts and for keeping passengers on the upward side of the sinking vessel. He says six boats and 12 band members from the village raced to the scene in about 20 minutes after they got the distress call just after midnight.
Everything went smoothly, and I mean, it could have been a lot worse than what happened there. I mean, can you imagine if the boat was full? I mean, their normal amount of people that they normally take down to Port Hardy is around 600-700. That night they only had 100 people on board there, 102.
Two passengers were still unaccounted for Thursday afternoon. Reese says locating those missing, as well as containing an oil slick that is spreading from the sunken ferry, are the concerns right now.
The oil is drifting into quite a distance now, where it's spreading. It's right up to where our major clam bed is, where we gather our food for the winter.
The Gitgat First Nation is part of the Tsimshian Nation, which has 8 communities along the British Columbia coast. In other news, the editor of a national magazine in Mancos, Colorado, published by the American Indian Higher Education Consortium, has resigned after 11 years on the job. As KSUT's Jones Whistler reports, now the search is on for her replacement.
The Tribal College Journal was started 17 years ago and moved to Mancos in 1995. That was when Marjane Ambler became the editor. One Tribal College president called Ambler the story catcher. Now she's moving on. But the magazine is staying in Mancos and advertising for a new full-time editor. Ambler described her favorite part of the job.
Watching lives being changed at the tribal colleges. Oftentimes we see only the negative news about reservations, but the tribal colleges are really transforming the lives of individual students and of their communities.
The movement to create tribal colleges began in Arizona in 1968 when the Navajo Nation formed Navajo Community College, now called Diné College. Today there are more than 35 tribal colleges and universities around the nation and in Canada, serving more than 30,000 students from more than 250 tribal nations.
The tribal colleges are training people to be scientists, doctors, astronomers, but they're setting them off with a cultural foundation so that they know who they are and where they came from.
A national search for a new editor is underway with a deadline to apply on March 31st. In Colorado, I'm Joan Zwissler.
In a first-of-its-kind event, a professional ballet company in North Dakota is combining contemporary ballet with traditional Native American dance and a message of cultural acceptance. The Northern Plains Ballet Company will present Encounters this weekend in a production which depicts the first encounter between European-American explorers and Native Americans. Robert Meyer is one of the creators of the ballet.
And the message we're really trying to get across is the idea of inclusion. It can be any two cultures. We're utilizing the Native American culture and white culture to tell this story.
Meyer is a professional photographer who provided the background photos of Native American powwows and landscapes for the performance. He says the production has received a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts. This is Independent Native News. I'm Bonnie Sue Hitchcock.
Supported by News from Indian Country's e-edition, online at indiancountrynews.com. Independent Native News is a production of KUAC at the University of Alaska Fairbanks.